Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us for AWR 360 Health Live. I'm your host, Kyle Allen. It's great to be with you today and to be able to have another one of these programs. We've had some really good programs the last few weeks, and I wanted to remind you that if you have missed any of them, you can go to our YouTube page or our Facebook page and find them there. Last week's was especially interesting, called Doctor in the Kitchen. The week before that, we had hydrothermal therapy and the benefits of that. And then before that, we also have one on how what we eat affects our immunity. And so if you've missed any of those, you can check those out on our YouTube or Facebook. We'd be happy to have you do that. And guys, you know, this is a very challenging time that we're all in with this coronavirus situation. And we know there's still a lot of fear out there. A lot of people are uncertain about life and the future. But we hope that these broadcasts can give you some hope, some encouragement, and some practical ways that you can boost your immunity, that you can live healthier and happier, so that you can have a better life. I want to thank our wonderful director, Dr. Leela Lewis, who is with us again, coming live from Phoenix, Arizona, where it's always sunny. Dr. Leela, good to see you.
Thank you. Nice to see you too, Pastor Kyle. It's not always sunny here, but we do get a fair share of sunny.
You get a fair share of sunshine. And Dr. Leela, before we go on, just wanted to ask you, last night something very exciting happened as well, right?
That's right. We had part two of our medical symposium. For those of you who didn't get a chance to attend, we are offering continuing medical education credits completely for free, Category 1 credits, 2 hours on Sunday nights and 1 hour on the program that you're on right now. So if you haven't yet registered, make sure you go to awr.org/health, fill out the registration, and you can earn up to 12 hours of free CME credits.
That's really, really wonderful. So those are also on YouTube. They can watch the ones from previously as well, and they're very, very, very interesting. So today's program, Dr. Leela, an exciting program.
Yes.
Today, lots of good information coming up. The title of today's program is City Living with Country Benefits.
Well, Pastor Kyle, I mean, you just brought up last night. So today is basically the practical application for the medical symposium done Sunday night. So that's where we're going.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to that. Before we do get into today's program, I want to have a word of prayer to open up this time together. And before I have prayer, I want to introduce our other guest, Dr. Angie Trower. Dr. Angie, good to see you.
Thank you, Pastor Kyle and Dr. Leela. It's good to be here with you both.
Angie is coming to us live from Silver Spring, Maryland, and Angie is the health director for the North American Division of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Dr. Brower, great to have you with us today as well. Looking forward to the time together. Friends, before we begin our program, just want to bow our heads for a word of prayer and ask God to be with us and bless us during this hour. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to get together today to talk about health and how we can boost our own health so that we can be a blessing to others. We ask your blessing on today's broadcast, and be with us as we open your word, as we also look at the science behind how to live healthier as we go through this time. We thank you and continue, Lord, to be with all those who are struggling on the front lines of this battle with the coronavirus, and we pray that you would give them strength and keep them safe. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, Dr. Leela, before we get to today's topic at hand, I just want to remind everyone of this verse, which we often talk about. It's a verse from Matthew chapter 11 and verse 23. I got the wrong one. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. The Bible says, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We've talked a lot about, do you want rest from all the struggles of life, all the things that we battle in this world? And you have a really good acronym that not only teaches us how to have rest in the physical sense, but also spiritually. It's Want Rest, WANTREST. Can we do a quick review of that and what that means and how it relates to our health program?
Well, you know, I think it's really interesting that the principles that we're talking about, Jesus actually gave us in the Garden of Eden, all the way back at the beginning of time, these principles of so simple, fresh water, extra water every day. We talked about hydrothermal therapy and the external benefits of water. fresh air, A for air, we're going to talk about today, N for nutrition. We discussed that last week and a couple weeks before that, and the powerful antioxidant effects that proper nutrition plays. Temperance, or to use moderately things that are good for us and avoid those things that are harmful for us. Rest, of course, sleep. The benefits of 7 hours of sleep are tremendous, and we're going to be going into that later on as well. Exercise, that's next week's topic in addition to temperance. So we're going to be looking forward to that. Sunshine, we'll be talking about that today and the effects that antioxidants are and the body's immune system has specifically with the ultraviolet radiation. And then, of course, the foundational principle of all of them, trusting in God or trust in divine power. So each one of these definitely, I believe, plays a role as far as our overall health is concerned, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. But also, I believe we've begun to investigate the relationship that it has with COVID-19 and boosting our immune system. And I think we've been surprised to see the benefits overall. So I guess that would be our introduction to Want Rest.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Dr. Leela, could we just do a quick, I know a lot of people were on last week and some people had some questions about the topic from last week, which was Doctor in the Kitchen. I actually really enjoyed last week's program because all week I've been thinking, man, I need to get more garlic in my diet. I need to get more ginger. I need to get that allicin that you talked about.
Did you cook this week is what I want to know. That's my question for you.
You know, you put me on the spot.
That's okay. That's
I did
okay.
make a peanut butter sandwich, and I did make a waffle.
Okay.
So
well,
I know that didn't have any garlic in it, but I did do a couple of those things.
Well, thankfully, let's talk about garlic. Let's talk about garlic very briefly here. So garlic has allicin, and you remember that term. You enjoyed saying that name. Allicin is also in other natural foods as well, such as onions and those kinds of things. But garlic is a tremendous, tremendous antioxidant. It actually has antiviral, antimicrobial, and antibacterial properties. The research really is very exciting as far as allicin is concerned. We also looked at things such as lemon juice, vitamin C. You know, there's a lot of ideas out there as far as supplements with vitamin C. Well, God's given us oranges and lemons and even concentrated lemon juice. You know, you can, practically speaking, we've seen this, one way to really boost your vitamin C if you want is if you're starting to feel a little bit of a scratchy throat. It doesn't necessarily sound to the first thought that it's the best thing in the world, but it actually works very well. Take some concentrated lemon juice, dilute it down by one-third, I would say one-third lemon juice, two-thirds warm water. Some people like just a little bit of honey with that. I prefer just a little bit of salt because I tend to have a saltier taste buds. And drink that 2 to 3 times a day, and you will notice your sore throat, for the most part, will improve. And I've seen that anecdotally, both in the treatments of my children, but also, again, as vitamin C supplements. So that's just one way that you can kind of boost your immune system, just as a review from last week.
Thank you very much. And we also talked about ginger. I remember hearing about ginger also as a powerful immuno-booster food. Is that right?
That's right. And they make a lot of ginger lemon teas. You can use those. You can actually get the ginger root itself. I wouldn't just go chomping down on it just because it doesn't necessarily have the
most... So good.
Yeah, exactly. But as far as garlic, coming back to garlic, one way to really increase your garlic consumption, because a lot of people just don't really want to chomp down on garlic cloves, albeit I do sometimes. But one of the better way to do it is take a garlic press, press your garlic cloves, add a little bit of olive oil, maybe a little bit of salt, again, just a little bit. Put it on a piece of bread, and actually it's very palatable. You can add it to your pastas and all kinds of different things.
Now, you know, that's very interesting because that sounds actually easy enough that I could do that. Put crushed garlic on toast.
I think you could, Pastor Kyle. I have faith in
okay,
you.
Okay, so just remember, everyone, though, if you are eating a lot of garlic, it does help with your social distancing measures. So just make sure you keep that in mind. Well, this is very, very good information, Dr. Lou. I know you also talked about berries and things that we can eat that will help our immune system as
those
well, right?
Antioxidants, that's correct. But again, I would just reference people to go back to the original show, watch it, review it, and actually by watching it, you can get your steamy credits too.
That's awesome. So thank you so much, Dr. Leela. And just want to remind everybody that as we go through the program today, feel free to send in your questions because we are going to have a Q&A at the end of today's broadcast. And so we want to take your questions and answer them live right here on the show. So make sure you're sending those in as we go through the program today. Dr. Leela, I think we should jump right into today's topic with Dr. Brower. And I'm excited to see what we find today.
Wonderful. Well, before we get started, we wanted to show you a picture on your screen. It's actually a picture from, we've made a lot of comparisons in our symposium between the 1918 pandemic and our current COVID-19 pandemic. Now, this is from the National Archives. It's actually a picture demonstrating what some of our institutions at the time sometimes referred to as sanitariums and other locations that tended to be a little bit more, I guess I dare say, progressive as opposed to some of the army camps. You can see that the patients are actually outside in the sunshine. They actually made recommendations that all nursing staff and providers, you see they actually have, most of them except for the lady in the front, have their masks on continuously. So they were using more up-to-date modern approaches, if you will. And their mortality and relationship as far as the number of cases was significantly less than the local nearby Army hospitals. So today we want to further explore in a practical sense some of the principles that were utilized there in the 1918 pandemic, as we did with the symposium last night, but we really want to bring it home. We want to make it practical. So by the end of today's presentation, you feel like, yeah, maybe you got a little touch of the science, but we also were able to make it practical, particularly for those of you who are in an urban setting who really would like to get more of a rural effect. Pastor Kyle.
Yes, I'm excited about this topic today. So if you guys are living in the city, this is for you. Because you can also take advantage of what it's like to be in the country. Even though you may not live in that area, there are things we can do to take advantage of those benefits. Right, Dr. Leela? Dr. Brower?
That's right.
Yes, absolutely. And you know what? It's not optimal for some aspects of our health to live in a city. Although, you know, we can say that in a city, you may tend to have access to healthcare a little bit more. We know in rural areas they have less access to healthcare. And in times of pandemic, it's kind of nice to be close by to a specialist, but it's not always possible. But there are certainly health problems living in a city, but also living in rural areas. So really it's about wherever you are, wherever God has placed you, how can you just improve your chances for having good health?
That's a really good point. Thank you, Dr. Brower. You know, Pastor Kyle, I wanted to bring up, and Dr. Brower, I wanted to bring up a couple things. You know, we've been talking about every week a little bit about physiology or how the body normally works. And we talked about if we can understand that, it's kind of, in one way, sort of a key to help us to be, in some ways, disease-free. If we know what causes disease, if we avoid those things and we benefit the things that actually improve our immune system, it helps our body overall and so decreases our risk of disease in a large sense. So how the body normally works is, in this sense, in our relationship to virology or viruses as we're dealing with COVID-19, we have what we call innate immunity, which is kind of like the cells that just have no specific, they don't recognize, oh yes, this is a specific disease element. It's more of a general sense. And some of those cells that we're specifically targeting or looking at today in relation to COVID-19 are the monocytes and the natural killer cells. And as you'll remember in our symposium for the last couple events, we've noticed that the monocytes, and particularly the natural killer cells, are directly affected in the early phases, decreased actually, in the early phases of this viral syndrome as related to COVID-19. So my question is, what can we do to boost those monocytes and natural killer cells? And I see Pastor Kyle, and he has a practical question for us. I know he does.
Now, Well, I know there's somebody that might be watching that's, you know, they're like me, they're not that scientific, and when you start talking about monocytes and natural killer cells, so can you just, what are these little things? Are these little, like, army guys in our body that go around and you know, shoot the bad guys? I mean, or eat them? Is that what they're doing, basically?
Yeah, the
inside
phagocytes.
Inside me right now?
Yeah, inside you right now, you've got phagocytes that are just going around and eating up the bad
phagocytes.
Things. Yeah, they're not.
Wow.
They're not specific. We don't need to get into all those terminologies today. Just suffice it to say, for our non-scientific viewers, we have specific elements that God has created that are innate that actually happen. You know, for example, the baby, the fetus in the mother's womb, has that fetus been exposed to bacteria? Hopefully not, and other viruses while in utero. Well, not very likely, right? Hopefully not. And so the body, God made the body to have innate immunity, if you will, things that it hasn't yet learned. It's going to just have it naturally. And some of those are the monocytes and the natural killer cells. And those two, in particular, are affected negatively. They're decreased as the COVID-19 virus affects the individual. So COVID-19 actually stops or diminishes the body's ability to keep up its immune system with the monocytes and the natural killer cells. But let's go on and talk about what
Dr.
things...
Lila?
Yes, sir.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just had to share a verse that came to my mind as you were sharing. You know, it's so incredible, isn't it, the way God designed our bodies to fight off infection? God is an amazing creator, and this verse came to my mind. And the Bible says in Psalms 139, verse 13, "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are all your works." Isn't that... It's just so powerful when you think about the fact that God as a creator gave us these bodies that are able to fight off infection. And he's given us tools now to help increase our ability to fight off those infections.
Yeah, that's amazing. And he knew us. He knew us before we were actually born. Isn't that, that to me is very exciting as well. So we have nothing to fear, right? We know that God is always with us. So, some of the things, coming back to our two topics for today that we want to get to, is specifically sunshine and fresh air. Now, Dr. Brower, obviously the sunlight helps us as far as improving, you know, there are certain things that we learned yesterday in our presentation that vitamin D deficient patients, they have, and it looks like, the early research appears to look as though it could affect negatively the ability for the body to actually fight off COVID-19. So one of the studies looked at the relationship of actually supplementing patients with vitamin D, particularly if their vitamin D was less than 25. So one thing that came out yesterday, Dr. Brower, what would we say? Should patients go out and get tested? Should they get their vitamin D tested, particularly if they live in higher latitude locations?
You know, I really do recommend vitamin D testing for just about everyone. We know that a large portion of the population is at a level that's lower than we think is ideal. I've seen some surveys say that 50% of the population does not have enough vitamin D. And we're also seeing that vitamin D is related to a lot of health problems. Vitamin D is actually a hormone in our bodies. That means it has a lot of responsibilities. It makes a lot of things work. And so when our vitamin D levels are too low, it really can put us at danger for some serious health problems. And as we're seeing, potentially these infectious diseases and suppressing our immune system. So it really is important. I do recommend that individuals talk to their physician and ask them, do I need to have my vitamin D checked? And go with their guidance of their physician.
That's excellent.
So, Dr. Lila, I wanted to ask you I'm going to ask you right now a practical question, because I actually picked this up the other week. Again, we don't endorse any products on this program. We don't have any sponsors or benefits, but I did pick this up because you said vitamin D was important. A little vitamin D, and I just spray it into some water and drink it in the morning. Is that okay?
What does it say its units are?
Right. There are a lot of questions to ask.
It's vitamin D3, and it's 1,000 IU, and it's vanilla flavored.
Vanilla flavored. Wow. You even got vanilla flavored. Well, you know, this study that they were looking at last night showed a significant, actually, I was actually very surprised as far as the decreased amount that they were showing as far as beneficial. It's not beneficial to, oh, my goodness, I'm getting a sore throat, I'm getting a cough, I'm going to go take, you know, 10,000 international units of vitamin D. The studies show that it's not a treatment once you're already symptomatic. It's more as a prophylaxis for boosting your overall immune system. And that actually brings us to the practical application of why we need sunlight. Sunlight actually causes our body to transform and actually create vitamin D in ourselves. So getting sunlight every day is very, very beneficial. So I that would be my overall recommendation to you, Pastor Kyle. And I don't know about your vanilla flavored vitamin D3, but if I can
add, you know, we also have to be careful because it's possible to have vitamin D toxicity as well. If we're getting too much vitamin D, that could cause another host of health problems. So we need to find out, again, know your numbers is a really good principle to have. Know what your levels are. Do you really need supplementation? Are you at an okay level? And then, you know, usually they recommend no more than 4,000 IUs a day. And again, it's best that you go by your physician's recommendations here. We're not giving you medical advice to replace your physician, but you want to make sure you're not getting too much of it either.
Thank you, Dr. Barrett. Now, I will say you guys are both doctors, so I appreciate that, both physicians. So 1,000 IU, I'm under the limit. That's good. But I just want to ask a question, though, Dr. Angie, because, you know, you said go get checked, but right now everybody's at home. They can't really get checked, and no one's really going to the doctor except if they've got coronavirus. So what would you recommend? Should they just not take vitamin D now, or should we just – how should they deal with that?
Sorry, go ahead, Dr. Angie.
Well, and I think this takes us back to the question of, well, where can we get our vitamin D from? We can still take that proactive and have our vitamin D intake. Now, we can get some vitamin D from foods, but not a lot of foods have vitamin D naturally. It's really fatty fish is where you can get, some source of vitamin D. But we know they're for vegetarians, obviously, that's not going to work. A lot of fortified foods also have vitamin D, like cereals. Have vitamin D. You have to check the labels, look at the nutrition labels, but really take us back to that sunshine. Sunshine is a great source of getting vitamin D as well.
I'm excited. She just said cereal, and that's one of my favorite foods. Thank you so much, Angie, for endorsing cereal on this broadcast.
Just read those labels.
I want to go back to the sunlight.
Let's go to sunlight. Amen.
let's get back to, you know, Dr. Sunlight, if you will. UV light, ultraviolet radiation, it comes in various wavelengths. We have UVA, UVB, and UVC. UVA can cause sunburn. UVB is what they usually associate as far as skin cancer is concerned. And UVC usually doesn't actually reach into reaches because we have the stratosphere. The problem is UVC is very, very, very damaging to the body. And they've known for some time, that it also is very, it purifies very quickly. And so hospitals have been using it to kind of like as a treat, kind of like as a purification, like after a surgical procedure is over, they'll have a UVC machine that comes in and just kind of cleans out the place just with its ultraviolet radiation. But again, people can't be in there. You've got to, you know, shield your eyes. It can really hurt you. However, there's some new research to show that, again, for those individuals, particularly like the hospitalized patient, and we're coming back to the patient that can't necessarily get outside, they're actually showing that something called far UVC seems to have a direct role as far as denaturing the virus, denaturing COVID-19 specifically. And so they have a number of research studies that are going on right now to quickly look at far UVC actually as a treatment, if you will, to getting rid of the aerosolized virus in the air. So coughing, sneezing, et cetera, it's in the air for a period of time. And far UVC seems to very quickly denature it or kill it, if you will, changes its DNA. And that's if you think about ultraviolet radiation, though, that's what's happening in our skin in some degrees. When we end up with skin cancer, God forbid we do, but when people end up with skin cancer, what's happening is the DNA is actually being mutated by the ultraviolet radiation. And so that similar effect is happening with the viruses as well. So, again, getting outside, you want to make it really practical and really inexpensive because far UVC is not necessarily on the market yet. If you really want to get those ultraviolet rays and denature the viruses, the answer is get out in the sunshine every day. Really, truly, get out in the sunshine.
Okay, guys, I have to jump in here and ask a question. Dr. Leela, Dr. Angie, you're telling me to get out in the sunshine to get my vitamin D, right, to get some sunshine on my skin?
Mm-hmm.
You just mentioned skin cancer, and a lot of people wonder, I even wonder, how much sun is too much? Like, so how do I know how much sun is okay? Do I need to wear sunscreen all the time? I also read something this week saying that the number one cause of aging in the skin, I know ladies are always thinking about that, guys not so much, but anyway, is sunlight exposure. So how do we know how much to get?
Well, you know, it really doesn't take a lot of time in the sun to get enough vitamin D. It does depend on the time of year, on the color of your skin. There's a compound called melanin in your skin, which determines how light or dark your skin is. Individuals with darker skin do need a little bit more time. If you have lighter skin, less time out in the sun to get that vitamin D. But really, we're seeing anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes of time in the sun, maybe even 30 minutes if your skin is much darker, is enough. And we're even seeing maybe even twice a week. Now, I recommend getting out in the sun, you know, at least every day because sunshine has other benefits as well, such as improved mood and serotonin and things like that. But when it comes to vitamin D, twice a week for 5 to 15, maybe 30 minutes, it really isn't much. Now, when it comes to sunscreen, it actually is advisable to use sunscreen. And yes, sunscreen can block the UVB to converting into vitamin D in your skin. But really, most people don't use sunscreen the right way, unfortunately. And so they still get the vitamin D. But I do recommend good use of sunscreen, especially if you're out there for more than 30 minutes.
Wait, so how do you use sunscreen the right way is the question came to my mind.
Well, you know, you need to apply it periodically. If you're going to be out in the sun for an hour or 2 hours, you need to actually reapply every so often. And some people don't really spread it on evenly or enough to cover their skin, or if you're at the beach and you jump into the water, you know, beaches are opening up now in some states, so you still have to reapply. So there are some good uses of sunscreen too, but I do recommend sunscreen. And again, it doesn't take very long to get that vitamin D.
We have a question that's come in Dr. Leela, just a question really quick. It says someone's asking, what if you're allergic to sunscreen? I am allergic to sunscreen. How do we help that person?
Well, that's a good question. Obviously, you're not going to want to end up with an allergic reaction. So there's other ways that you can. Again, you still want to get your the best way is just try to get your hands exposed and a little bit of your lower and upper extremities. But one other way is to wear hats, clothing. I mean, if you have an allergic reaction to sunscreen, that would be one way to minimize it. But again, we're going to talk in just a few minutes. We want to get to fresh air. So it's not just the sunshine that you still want to be able to get outside and get some benefits. There is another thing that I wanted to bring up, and Dr. Angie brought this up, that some of our our beaches are opening up. Well, what's really exciting is the new research is showing that a combination of heat and humidity combined significantly denatures in a very quick setting the virus, COVID-19. In fact, what the studies show, and again, I would refer everyone back to yesterday's presentation, was that Dr. Schwalt pointed out that temperatures as low as 95 degrees Fahrenheit and humidity anywhere between 40% and above significantly denature COVID. And so some of our beaches, like Dr. Angela mentioned, are opening up. Well, we're referring actually to the ones in Florida. They have a tendency to have higher humidity there with the heat. So as long as we're not conglomerating together in big groups of people, being out in nature actually is beneficial, not just to boosting our overall well-being. We talked about yesterday the well-being as far as mental health is concerned, but actually seems to be showing that denatures the virus as well.
Dr. Leela, can I ask you a question about the humidity point? In terms of in our houses, would you advise us to use a humidifier? Would that be something that would help in the house to combat the spread of COVID-19?
Yeah, we talked about that a couple times, I think it was 2 weeks ago as well, as far as in the hydrothermal therapy section. Heated air. Again, you have to be careful. Everything's got to be in moderation, right? I mean, if you go put your face right in front of the humidifier, you have to remember that's hot steam.
Right.
Right.
I've done that, and I've burned myself, guys.
You can burn yourself.
I have burned myself.
So you have to be, we have to be wise, we have to be judicious, but yes, it does appear that humidity, heat, and humidity do denature the virus. So by all means, that's one of the reasons why hydrothermal therapy is beneficial, because wet heat does seem to work better than dry heat.
By the way, I just want to say I've been doing those hot and cold showers, you guys, and it is invigorating. If you really want to feel good in the morning, do that 5-minute, 1-minute, 3-minute, 1-minute, 3-minute, 1-minute routine. You remember what we talked about a couple weeks ago, Dr. Leela?
5-1-3-1-3-1.
Yeah, guys, it's so good. So try it if you haven't. It'll boost your immunity, and it'll also give you a pep in your step as you go throughout your day.
So I have a question for Dr. Angie. She had some really good presentations last night on what do you do if you are in the city and you know you can't get out to, which we talked about, we haven't yet talked about fresh air, but I'll just mention this real quick. You know, the study that we saw yesterday was 2 hours of walking in the forest significantly increased those natural killer cells, that innate immunity. What can you do if you live in a large city and you don't have access to trees and nature, and for you to go outside, it might be that you're with, you know, more people and more exposure. What are some opportunities for those individuals?
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, we've seen in the research, the researchers have known for a long time that being out in nature has a lot of health benefits. So a number of researchers have looked at, well, what about if we bring nature indoors, if we have plants? Now, what about the difference between real plants and fake plants? Well, what about pictures of plants and pictures of landscapes? And there's been quite a number of research done on this. They've looked at various age groups. There was one study that looked at children who were exercising, and what was the difference if they were watching a video of outdoor landscapes while they were exercising? And what are all of the health benefits that they might be getting? Through a number of published research, what we've seen is that bringing plants in the house, so having plants around you in your room, can give you health benefits. There are things like lowering blood pressure, lowering your heart rate, and also giving you a better frontal cortex, that's that front part of your brain, better activity there as well. So looking at pictures of plants, landscapes, pictures of forests, there are health benefits even just by looking at pictures. And, you know, you can find online just beautiful scenery now. So you can even just, you know, watch them online. Rather than, there are a lot of people stuck at home, and rather than getting caught up in a lot of videos or movies that maybe are not as health promoting, maybe watching videos of beautiful landscapes. There are a lot of great videos that you can find out there. So looking at pictures, bringing in potted plants, and even some studies have looked at, well, what if I just have wood floors? Believe it or not, just having wood flooring has had some health benefits too. Now, that's not to say you need to rip out all of your wood flooring right now. That's not what I'm recommending. But really, the whole concept is that bringing in natural elements into the environment where you are. We've even seen in hospitalized patients, there was one research study where patients after a surgery, they were put into a room with several plants in the room. And by the way, they used sterile soil, which I had not heard about before, because it's a sterile hospital environment, right? They need that right after surgery. And those patients who were in a room with surgery, actually, or after surgery, in a room with plants, did better than patients who did not have plants in their room. So we're seeing that this really could be a useful alternative. Again, it's not the ideal. The ideal is that you're out there in nature, that you're able to walk through a peaceful forest, so that you're able to see the birds, hear the birds and see the flowers, smell, you know, the fresh air. But we can bring in some of that when it's not possible to do that safely. And especially during a time of a pandemic, you know, safety is still our top priority.
And, you know, that leads me, Pastor Kyle and Dr. Angie, you know, that leads me to another study that was actually looking at hospitalized patients again and the relationship just of having a window. Just having a window that was able to be open, they could see the sunlight, they could see outside, see the trees. Postoperatively, those patients had significantly decreased both wound infections, overall health, of course, mental well-being as well. So I think we're seeing something very interesting. And as we kind of flip back to that picture that we showed a little while ago of 1918 pandemic, you know, whatever we can get as close of an environment that we can get to enabling those who are more in a hospitalized setting to actually still be able, although they can't necessarily go outside in many cases, still be able to get the benefits of the outside environment of ultraviolet radiation and fresh air still in their setting that they're in. Now, there is one other thing that I've taught people for years, particularly those of us who live in the more heated states. I live in Arizona, so in the summertime we can get, you know, 115 degree temperatures in June. And people say, well, how am I supposed to get fresh air and sunshine, you know, in every room of the house? You know, we really would like to, one of the pollutants that we actually get in our homes is called dioxin. And dioxin can cause things like diabetes and different things. It increases the risk of diabetes and those kinds of things. And so I recommend that we need to get the dioxin out and get the fresh air and sunshine in. And people say, well, how can you do that in 115 degree weather? It's too hot. Well, one of the ways that you can do it is make sure in the early morning hours, open your windows. Open your windows in the very early morning hours before you're at the peak of the day. You can get your fresh air, your sunshine in the room, and get the benefit, again, of trying to get a little bit of the benefit of the outside while we're still on the inside or in those places we can't necessarily be outside in rural settings.
So can I ask you a question on that, Dr. Leela? In regards to the window thing, I love opening my windows in my house here. I love it. But some people wonder, you know, especially you come into spring allergy season, you've got the pollen out there. Are you suggesting that we open our windows? Is that so? That's a good thing to do.
As long as you don't have like an asthmatic attack and those kind. Again, all things in moderation, right? We could carrots are very beneficial for us, correct? I mean, vitamin A, they have wonderful benefits. But if I go on a carrot strength only, I'm probably not going to have the most well-rounded diet that I need. And the same thing goes for any aspect of health, right? Any one of these eight principles, if I take in excess, then I'm not being in that word temperance or moderate, right, of a good thing. You can take a good thing and go too far and make it a bad thing. So I think we need to keep that in mind. But in essence, in answer to your question, yes, as long as there's not some real reason to have us not open our windows, and again, that would be in a very select population group, and that would be something that you would just want to talk to your doctor about specifically, yes, we should open our windows, get fresh air and sunshine as far as possible every day.
Is it good to have them? Oh, sorry, Dr. Angie, you can go ahead.
I just wanted to add to that. What we're doing here is we're giving the principles, right?
Okay.
We're sharing with you the broad principles of why these are effective and why they work. But we know that there are, as Dr. Leela said, certain populations where, you know, if you're going to have an asthma attack, please don't do that, because your safety is primary. You can still get sunshine benefits, you know, in other ways. You know, sometimes when it might be a cold day outside, what about just sticking your hand outside the window if you can for a few minutes, or standing by the open door and just letting the sun hit you? Now, for vitamin D, you have to get sunshine. You can't get it through the glass, so you do need to have that direct contact. But, you know, you definitely want to adjust for your particular case, your particular situation. And this is where your personal doctor, healthcare provider really comes in very handy.
Thank you for that point. And so I just want to mention that, because I don't think we mentioned that a minute ago. So for vitamin D, if I'm sitting by the window and soaking in the sun through the window, that's not the same as if I actually go outside.
That's right.
That's correct.
Okay, that's a good point, because I think sometimes I've thought...
You need to have direct access of the sun, the ultraviolet radiation on the skin itself, converting the hormones to... There's multiple different steps in the process of production of vitamin D.
Okay. One question I have for you ladies, let's say at night, I know there's sometimes people have said, oh, you don't want to breathe the night air or something like that. Is there a benefit to opening your windows at night when you sleep?
Yes, there is, and that's related to dioxin. So dioxin is a chemical combustion product that's given off when we burn plastic. That's why we shouldn't burn plastic. One of the reasons we shouldn't burn plastic is carcinogenic, but it also, like I said, it can cause what's called insulin resistance, diabetes, high blood pressure, those kinds of things. But one of the times that it is at its lowest times is in the late evening and in the early morning, and that's one of the reasons why we talked about early morning fresh air and getting the fresh air in your home. So that would be probably one reason why you've heard that before.
Awesome. Well, this has been very interesting information. Dr. Leela, something you wanted to add?
Oh, I think we have some questions.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to getting them.
We do. We've had some questions coming in, and so let's go to our first question. Thank you so much, everyone, that's been submitting. You can still submit questions, by the way, even now. First question is this. If someone has symptoms like a cough and a sneeze, do you recommend steam inhalation?
Well, I think that, again, I say everything that we need to be very moderate and we need to be careful of what we're saying. So are you going to put your face right over a boiling pot of water and get steam and burn your face? The answer would be that's probably not a very wise decision, because you don't really want facial burns. However, there, as we already stated, not just COVID-19, but viruses across the board, it appears at this point, are negatively affected by humidity and heat, and particular COVID-19. So heat and humidity, and that would be steam would be one way of doing that. Another way would be the ways that we've been talking about as far as hydrothermal therapy, directly applied through a covered wet, warm towel, covered by a dry towel. The old word some people use was fomentation. We use hydrothermal therapy. Again, that's one of the reasons, because you are elicitating a heated, humidified environment. So in answer to the question, yes, but again, please use moderate precautions.
Great question. Thank you so much. All right. Bible Flockbox, who's a YouTuber, thank you so much for watching us and for commenting and the questions here. How often should we air out our house, like during the morning and evening or more than that?
So really, you know, at least once a day is what is ideal. Now, it's going to depend on your specific living situation as well. If we're talking about urban populations where there's a lot of pollution around or factories nearby that might be putting off, you know, fumes and so forth, then you certainly want to be careful. And maybe that's not the best way for you to get fresh air. Maybe bringing in plants into your home is how you can help purify your air. In general, once a day, now morning and evening, I think is a great way to do it. Make sure you have cross ventilation, though, that you have a window open on one side and on the other side so the air is actually going all the way through.
That's a great question. Thank you so much. Before we get to that next question there, I just want to follow up on that to say that, you know, if you open your windows, it's good to have screens because, you know, the little mosquito guys, they start coming in this time of year. And I know that the people I've been staying with sometimes open the windows, mosquitoes come in, then I get in trouble. So you just got to make sure that you put the screens on, keep the mosquitoes out, and get your fresh air. Just a side note. All right. Next question. Is the morning sunlight better than the afternoon in terms of vitamin D? Very good question.
So when it comes to the vitamin D conversion and what your skin really needs from the sun, it's between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. That's the ideal time for that skin conversion to happen if you're using that 5 minutes to 30 minutes time frame.
And the benefits of early morning sunlight actually have a lot to do with melatonin production. So melatonin has significant effects on our overall health. We'll be talking about that in future shows specifically regarding sleep, but everything from physical health to emotional health. So again, early morning sunlight really does help set your circadian rhythm, your clock, if you will, of your body, and it increases your melatonin production.
Can I ask a practical question on that, Dr. Leela? For me, like I tend to sleep with dark blackout curtains, but then sometimes I don't get that sunlight coming in to wake me up. Anyway, is that recommended, or should I not have blackout curtains?
No, to sleep in a very, very dark environment actually does benefit your melatonin production. Again, between 10 p.m. and about 2 to 3 a.m. is the peak time, so you really do want to be getting those early to bed, early to rise hours. But again, early to rise helps you, again, set that circadian rhythm so you're getting that early morning sunshine. But again, this is a topic for our discussion on sleep, which is Dr. Sleep is coming up.
I'm going to be very, well, yes, I'm looking forward to that one. I feel convicted already. So let's go ahead and get our next question. Have had open heart surgery and am a type 1 diabetic. Hot cold showers caused a problem. Is the hot and cold safe with my medical conditions?
That is another one of those situations where specifically there are certain populations that I'm an obstetrician gynecologist, and it would not be wise for pregnant patients to go put themselves in a hot sauna or in a jacuzzi. Okay. The same thing goes with cardiac patients or heart patients that have a tendency towards arrhythmias or irregular heart rates. That is something that you're going to want to talk to your doctor about specifically. The risks associated with hydrothermal therapy are very low, but in those populations, you need to be careful. And so, again, I would recommend that you follow up with your physician about that.
And one of the cautions when it comes to diabetes is the loss of sensation in our feet and in our fingers, in our extremities. And if we're not able to sense when that water is too hot, that could cause a burn risk. And so we really want to be very cautious about that.
Absolutely.
Okay, we have a question here also from Bible Flock Box. Once again, thank you for your question. My 4-year-old daughter has atopic skin inflammation, a.k.a. eczema. Her inflammations are pretty bad, and steroid cream is the best treatment so far. Are there any good natural remedies? Okay. Interesting question.
Well, that's a very good question. Your daughter has what I would describe more as a hyperimmune state. Okay, so it's autoimmune. Autoimmune is basically where your immune system is attacking itself. There's lots of different situations like that. Asthma is one, lupus. There's a lot of different scenarios. So as far as, you know, natural remedies are concerned, the studies that we're actually seeing, and it's kind of interesting. One of the things that happens in COVID-19 specifically, so the coronavirus, in the latter stages, we've talked about this a few times, but the cytokine storm, right?
Cytokine storm.
You know that one. So at the very end, it's basically where the immune system goes, woof, you know, it's just in like hyper mode, and it's actually attacking its own cells. So and that's where you get the damage to the little alveoli, the lower parts of the lungs, and those kinds of things. So there was some research, and we don't have an absolute clear answer here, but I'm just trying to give you an idea. There's not a lot of research on hydrothermal therapy, which is another reason that we've been advocating for people to join the path, if you will. But there is some research to show that hydrothermal therapy actually decreases cytokine storm. So in answer to your question about your daughter with eczema and the relationship with some of these autoimmune diseases, one of our doctors actually answered this last night as well. I would not avoid doing hydrothermal therapy. On a child, you do it much less intense. I have little children as well, so I will do foot baths on my little ones, and they actually enjoy it now. But we'll do 2 minutes, 30 seconds. And your temperatures, you got to watch those temperatures, mommies and daddies. Put your hand in there and make sure, and let the baby put their hand in there. You know, not baby, but the child. But again, 2 and 30 seconds. And that's one way that you can approach your eczema situation.
Thank you so much. That's very, very helpful. Okay, another question that has come in. How can we overcome, I know a lot of people are stuck in their homes right now, can we talk about practical ways to help people know how to get outside, get that fresh air, get that sunlight? How can we overcome the barriers to that outdoor physical activity that we're experiencing right now?
That's a really great question to make this practical for everybody, hopefully. I think, you know, first thing to remember is make sure you're keeping that social distancing right, and which really we should call it physical distancing. Are you able to stay that 6 feet apart from people that you don't live with? And you can stay, walk close to the people that you live with in your home, but if they're, you know, strangers you pass by, make sure you're able to very politely, and, you know, as I walk around, most people understand you can be nice, but still kind of keep distant from each other, right? So maintaining that, if you need to, wear a mask. Actually, in some states, they still require you to wear a mask any time you go outside. So keep that mask with you. But how do you overcome those barriers? One of the keys that I think helps a lot of people is that it really is just one step at a time. It's about putting your shoes on. Now, for those of you who don't wear shoes around the house, if you put your shoes on, it means you're going outside, right? So put those shoes on and open the door. Make it one step at a time. It's probably helpful if possible if you keep your shoes by the door. Keep your coat, your outdoor clothes, your jacket by the door so that you're taking away any of those excuses or, well, I have to go all the way upstairs or, you know, it's just too hard or too many steps. Make it very simple for you, for yourself. Now, some of the barriers that I think people may face are maybe, you know, well, my work, if I'm working from home, a lot of people may be working from home, I just don't have time. Can you schedule a walk into your day? And by the way, you don't have to make it a two-hour walk. It could be even 15, 20 minutes, even 10 minutes might be enough for your body to just decompress, for you to get some of those health benefits, for you to refresh your mind, and and then come back in with renewed energy. So it doesn't take a whole lot of time. You can also, you know, if you have young children, can you take them with you? Make it an outing. Now, making sure that you're able to control them and that they're not running up to every stranger and giving them hugs. You know, what about if you have elderly or individuals who maybe have movement disabilities? You don't have to go very far. It's really about getting out as much as you can, getting that fresh, that sunshine on your face and on your hands for a few minutes, getting some fresh air, taking some deep breaths. So it doesn't have to be a very long, laborious process. So whatever you can do to make it easy for yourself.
Very, very helpful. Thank you, Dr. Angie, for that that insight. And I do hope that wherever you are, you can get out, go on a nice walk. Right, Dr. Leela? Get
That's
some
right.
sunshine.
That's right.
Put that mask on, you guys, if you need to. If I don't have a mask, I can use a bandana, right, Dr. Leela? I can use a lot of people don't have medical masks, but
there's a lot of do-it-yourself ways to make little masks online, so go check them out.
Check them out and just get out and get some fresh air and sunshine, and it'll be a great benefit to you. Guys, I can't believe the time has gone so fast. We're almost to the end of our program today. It's been a blessing. Thank you for joining us. I just want to end our program today with a little thought from God's Word. And, you know, I was thinking about those verses that that we referred to in the middle of the program, and we'd just like to share them again with you. You know, a lot of people are, you know, it's a hard time that we're going through. People are scared. People are afraid, not only of the virus, but now a lot of people are wondering what they're going to do because they're out of work, and they're not sure where the next paycheck is going to come from. But I want you guys to know this. God knows you. He loves you. He created you. In fact, He knew you before you were born. And I just want to remind you of this powerful promise from Psalm 139. Starting in verse 13, the Bible says this: "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. The days for me were fashioned before they were, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." So friend, I want to remind you today that God is your creator. He loves you. He formed you. He knew you even before you were born. You're engraved on the palms of His hands. Jesus died for you so that you could have eternal life. And so today, I want to invite you to just accept Him into your heart and to make that decision to follow Him and to put your trust in Him. That's the last T of the want rest, Dr. Leela, that we'll get to in the future. But when we trust in God as our Creator and our Redeemer, it gives us the peace, the assurance to know that He is there with us and to help us get through hard times in life. So may you go today knowing that the Lord Jesus loves you very much. And I want to also share this final promise with you from 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. If you're worried, if you're anxious today, this verse is for you. "Casting all your care upon Him," that is Jesus, "because He cares for you. He created you. He loves you. He died for you. And someday very soon, He's coming back to take us all home to the new heavens and the new earth, where there will be no more suffering or sickness or pain, and we'll be with Him forever. So we want that to be true for all of us. Our spiritual health is just as important as our physical health, and so may you make that decision today. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer as we close the program. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful, very practical program today. Help us to get out there and enjoy the sunshine, the fresh air, the things that you've given us that will help us to be healthy even in the midst of a global pandemic. But Father, thank you for these wonderful things, and we pray that you would be with each one who's listening today. Bless them, keep them healthy. Lord, we want to pray in a special way for our healthcare workers, the people who are on the front lines. Keep them safe, Lord, as they minister to others. Thank you for their sacrifices. and may you continue to bless them in a special way. Help us all to stay close to you and to remember to put our trust in you, because you love us, you created us, and you're coming soon to take us home. We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dr. Leela, thank you so much for your wonderful insights, as always. Dr. Angie, it's been great to have you on today. We can't wait to have you on again, another future AWR 360 Live. Dr. Leela, just real quick before we go, what's coming up next week?
We are so excited. You are not going to want to miss Medical Symposium Part 3 next Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Again, awr.org/health. Again, that's part of our four-part, 12 hours of CME credit. You're not going to want to miss. And as a follow-up to that, our Medical Monday afternoon program will be, again, looking at a follow-up to specifically the benefits of nutrition and exercise-induced antioxidants and racial disparity in the relationship of COVID-19 deaths. This is going to be a very interesting topic, so you're not going to want to miss that three-hour series. So again, next Sunday night, and then followed up for the practical application next Monday, Medical Monday.
All right. That's awesome. Well, we can't wait for that, and we want to invite you to join us for both of those broadcasts. And until then, go check out our Facebook, like our Facebook, follow us there. YouTube, you can find all these broadcasts there. And thank you again to both of you today for a wonderful program. And to all of you for watching, we thank you. We wish you health and safety. And to all of our first responders and healthcare workers, again, we thank you for your sacrifice and what you're doing on the front lines of this global pandemic. Until next week, God bless you. And always remember, God loves you. So long, everyone.